Christmas has come and gone, and it is back to hockey action. And we're here at the Debate Hockey Podcast for another episode. We haven't had hockey for 3 days now. Yeah. I don't know why, Blake, but it seems like these 3 days have been very long.
Oh, it's complete opposite for me. I feel like it was like the fastest 3 days of all time.
I just like watching hockey.
It's nice watching football. It's nice watching some football.
Three pretty good games
yesterday, other than the one Monday nighter. But I don't know. We went up to Regina for Christmas. My mom's side all got together. Every other year we do that. So spent a couple days up in Regina. Had to come back Christmas night because I had to work this morning at 6 a.m. So, look, a little bit of a quick turnaround, got a few hours of sleep, and then, back to work. I'm off my scooter, and, foot's healing up nice. So it's getting a little better post-surgery. So, up moving around, now I just got to work on kind of strengthening my leg because it's pretty weak because I've been, haven't been on it for a while.
Yeah. It's good. You're getting progress, Aaron. It was a very good Christmas, and I'm glad, your family.
What did you do for Christmas?
I spent time at my parents' house and my in-laws for yesterday for a while. But I had a real good time at my parents' house, and the family had fun. Kids all had a good time, and it was nice to. We just
how was
just
back
to Florida? So
how was your holiday at Florida?
It was good. The weather was junk, but we made the best of it and had a good time each and every day. And that was a good long week, and then we got back and right into the Christmas. So it's been go, 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 and today was a rest and recoup day, and back to normal tomorrow.
Did you do anything like cool in Florida? Did you go to any like games, any events?
We went kayaking one day with these like clear kayaks, and we had dolphins about a foot and a half from us in the waters, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Did a lot of fun things. It was a little chilly, a little rainy there, but I made the best of it. Had a good time. Always fun taking family vacations, but good to get back. Good to get back in the routine, and be good. But tomorrow to get back to some hockey action, and all's good.
Yep, for sure. 100%.
So last week, I believe it was Thursday. I don't know. My days are all messed up now. But it was the night Edmonton and New Jersey were playing.
Yeah.
And New Jersey was beating Edmonton by 2, I think.
Yeah.
Going into the third. And I'm like, I do not see Edmonton losing this game. So I went in.
Losing or winning?
I didn't see Edmonton losing that game. I thought they were going to come back. My gut told me they cannot afford to lose this game.
Yeah.
So Cook went into my bet site, threw down $10 and pulled out 130. So how's that for you?
Not bad. Don't get addicted to gambling, buddy.
No, I don't, because I know.
Don't be get. Yeah, you know. It all takes is that big win, and then you're hooked. The hook's already in your mouth. You already bit on the damn hook. You're screwed.
I've been doing it for 15 years, so I'm not screwed.
You're screwed.
I loved the other night. I watched Toronto Buffalo 9-3.
Don't you just love a nice asshole?
I love it. And I loved it when Buffalo played the goal song for the Maple Leafs. I loved
it. Oh, man. Trolls. Trolls, trolls, trolls.
World Juniors have zero excitement this year. Again.
I just like, they're on too early, man. Like, it's just 12:30. No, I'm working.
I tried watching today. Man,
I was talking to my cousin the other day, and I was just like, you know, the older you get, Christmas just doesn't feel the same anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's
for me, it's just
another day. I mean, like, I got little kids, I got little cousins, right? And it's exciting for them, and it's exciting to see their reaction when they open the gifts in the morning. But it's like, man, I remember Christmas used to be like one of the best days of growing up, and you get older and I was excited for Boxing Day to watch the World Juniors, and you get older and you just lose a little interest, I guess. So that part kind of sucks, because Christmas was It is one of my favorite holidays, but it's just, I don't know. Every year that I get older, it just seems like another day. I don't know.
Well, that's just
maybe the way. Maybe I'm not the only one that's like that, but I just the way I feel.
I don't know why though. Today I turned on the World Juniors and I was just like, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
I honestly don't think Canada is going to be in the gold medal game.
You want to know another reason why I think that we all kind of feel like it's, we're just not feeling it. It's not the same not having Russia.
It's exactly. That's 100% true. Remember that? You remember that game where Canada was down 6-1 in the semifinals to Russia with like 10 minutes left in the third? They always made that comeback. Like, that's one of my favorite memories from the World Juniors. And it's just like,
you need to have
it's a huge country.
You need to have Finland, Sweden, Canada, US, and Russia. If one of those is not in there, it's just not the same. It's just not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't be sleeping on Slovaks and Czechia though.
Not at all. And as the years have went on, I've become
almost beat Canada last year in the gold medal overtime.
Listen, I become much more interested in those teams. I'm just talking on a pure traditionalist.
Yeah.
It was Russia, Sweden, Canada, and sometimes the US.
Yeah.
That's the way it was. And now we're missing a key cog. And it's taken some of the luster out of it. And I think having it in Sweden isn't helping anything at all either. Not that it's not fair to not have, you know, they need to host it too. I get that. I'm not saying
you can't have it in Canada every year though.
Or the US. But I mean, it just, I don't know. I don't know. I just, this year just seems different.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots to talk about on the show today. The Canucks Christmas miracle. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about Caps move, trades, waivers, fires, Michigan's goalie searches, and the most hated teams in hockey. All right, Blake, this is my Christmas gift to you. It's not often your team is relevant in a positive way. And now they're the headline of the show today, man. It is. This is a Christmas miracle in Vancouver. It is.
This is the first time since we've been doing this show that Vancouver's been actually good.
They're the number one team in the National Hockey League as we went to Christmas break. I don't know. Pretty impressive. 49 points in 35 games. Now, they don't have the highest win percentage. The Rangers hold that. But it's still pretty damn impressive. This team, who many had pegged as a marginal playoff team, has found the success that they've had, and even more so, has somewhat, I mean, yes, we're only not quite a halfway through. We're getting close to the halfway mark. But they've held it pretty solid with consistency-wise. It's stayed pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, The stat that jumps out at the page to me when I think about their start and is when they're leading after 40 minutes, they are 20-0. They're 20-0. That, you remember last year, the first 10 games where they had 8 multi-goal leads and they were 0-8 after 40. They blew all those leads at the start. They easily could have been 8-2 and they were 0-9-1. This year, they keep the foot on the gas. They play good defensively. They're protecting leads, and it's just night and day. The structure and the defensive side of it, and it's honestly, like I've talked about this on the pod before. It is absolutely remarkable what Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford have done with this defense in the last 12 months.
Okay, but Blake, time off for one second. It is very vastly improved, and I will give them all the credit. But let's see how it handles through the grunt of the season.
I think they're doing the bulk of this without Susie too.
They're doing. No, I'm with you. I'm all positive about this, but I do have to just. I think we wait to give credit until after the season's over to the management staff, because are things going wonderful? Damn right. And I think this Vancouver Canucks team stays in the top three in the Pacific for sure. I did look, and a strength of schedule is not in their favor on the back half of the season.
Oh, that doesn't. Yeah, they play Vegas and LA the last week of the year. That's fine.
I'm not talking about that.
It's such bullshit, man. Everyone's like, oh, you played San Jose four times. You played Edmonton four times. Everybody plays the same amount of games.
No, I'm not saying that at all. And boy, you shouldn't say Edmonton, because Edmonton's a really good hockey team that's going to, I think, in my mind, make the playoffs this year. But I think this team is, what they've done is astonishing. I mean, they're getting good goaltending. Demko's tied for the league lead in shutouts with three. He's in the top 10 in both save percentage and goals against average. And most importantly, He's healthy.
Bingo. You hit the nail on the head. That's what it was going to come down to. Demko played 23 games last year. I said this at the start of the year. I said, if you get 50 to 55 games from Thatcher Demko, the Canucks should be there at the end. They should be in a playoff spot. Well, if Demko plays 50 to 55 games. What they've gotten from Casey to Smith, it's unbelievable. He's got a 9.24 save. I think he's 7-2. He's come in and stabilized a Canucks position that they haven't had stabilized in 4 years. They've had to ride Demko into the ground because they didn't have a competent backup that can come in and push him. And they went out and prioritized that and got a goalie that can push Demko.
Huh? I really thought they did when you did too. When they had Halak, I thought that was a good one. I thought that was a good pickup. I thought Halak was going to be that backup for Vancouver.
Yeah, I did too. I did because he was good in Boston. He was good in the Islanders, right? Like he was. I don't know. For some reason it just didn't work.
It happens.
But you've now have the option to rest Demko a few more if you have to, and save him for some games down the stretch. And you should, right? Because Smith has earned that right. And I'm not saying Zadorov is like a huge reason why they've had all the success, but they're 9-1 straight in for him. Like his presence, that pairing's been really good. I was very skeptical when they got put together in Calgary. And they blowing me away. Somehow stabilized Myers. Tyler Myers has the same amount of points as Jonathan Huberdeau. Can you believe that?
Oh, come on here. We're
I'm just joking. I had to get that one in there on the
pod. Oh, that's not.
I don't know. They're first in goal differential. They're first in goals for per game. They're first in goals against per game. They have a top five power play. They have one of the most exciting third lines in the NHL. That Joshua Garland Blueger line is so fun to watch. They're on a tear right now. I'm not saying it's going to last forever, but it's not. They're getting a lot of depth scoring, and when Miller and Pedersen and Hughes take a night off, that line has been stepping up in a big way. So what's that?
Miller, Pedersen, and Hughes are top three in points this year. Miller has third with 48. Hughes is eighth with 44, and Pedersen is ninth with 43. And then you have Brock Besser second in goals with 24.
That's been a huge bounce back.
But I will tell you this.
They're not going to sustain this the whole year. Everybody knows that.
No, they won't. But they're still very, very formidable. But they haven't had a lot of injuries, which also benefits.
Susie, that's a big loss, but he's on his way back. He's on his way back. But Noah Juulsen stepped up and played some big minutes too. Like it's the next man up with this team, and that's Tocchet style, right?
But you haven't had an injury to Pedersen or Miller or one of the key cogs, you know, or most importantly, like we touched on a little bit ago, you know, look at the health of Demko and look at what that one thing has changed this team. And
they've just made it easier to play net for him. They just defend way harder.
Well, I think accountability is finally an issue, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. Like Tockett sat Kuzmenko. He sat JT Miller, for God's sakes. Like, you're not going to play my way. Okay. You're going to bench. You're going to sit. I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, I think Tockett he got that country club vibe out of there. Like, I feel like it was like a pretty loose, non-accountable group, and you get new management in there. You get synergy from the top all the way down. Like, you got the owner brought in a coach before you hired a president and a GM. Like, it was backwards from the start last year, and it was full of drama. And now the management has their coach and playing the way they want to play, and it's showing. Like, I'm not saying they're going to sustain first in the league, but there's no reason why they can't sustain being a top five team. Like, they've shown me this isn't just a 10 game sample size. We're approaching half a season here. Like, they've shown that they can play the same way over and over and over and over. There's a lot of repeatability to their game. And I don't know. I'm at a loss for words because it's just so fun to watch right now.
Yeah, they're a fun hockey team to watch. Do I think they'll sustain this? No, but you know what? I wouldn't even worry about where they sit in the league. I think it's just so important to be, you know, in the Pacific Division. I think it's so important to be, you know, in that.
Well, I think you got to try, and if you're Vancouver, you got to try and win your division or get second, because so you have home ice advantage in the first round, right? Yes. You want to either get first or second. You want to get first or second in your division. And
honestly,
what's that?
I think your biggest test in the division, you know, if you told me that LA was more of a competition for the division lead than Vegas, I would agree with you, not just because LA has played like a league low 30 games, but they seem to be a little bit more consistent. And Vegas right now is running.
They're kind of a little up and down. They're running into injuries with their goaltending. I don't know. There's just
this little.
I know. Did you watch the game against Florida?
Oof. I did.
They got outshot like 42. They were getting outshot like 45 to 18.
Yeah, part of it. But, you know, the Canadian franchise to sit atop the NHL's overall standings at Christmas since 05 Senators.
Do you know the last team to sit atop the NHL standings at Christmas won the Stanley Cup? I don't know.
Last year? Cool stat.
No, the last team to finish first place at Christmas won the Stanley Cup. Do you know who it was? Did you see that stat?
No.
The 2008-2009 Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, well, wonderful. That was a long time ago, dude. I don't know if
I'm saying it's just a stat. It's just a stat. It's just a stat. But no, it's incredible. Last year, the biggest thing was they didn't defend. They didn't defend at all. And now they're playing hard defensively. Their forwards are playing defensively. They're playing as a five-man unit. They're making it easier on their goaltenders to play net. The penalty kill has struggled a little teeny bit, but it's getting better. Power play's good. You're getting stops. You're getting timely goals. You're getting everything right now. It's a fun time to be a Canucks fan for the first time in about 8 years.
Well, the biggest thing, and I agree with everything you just said there, but accountability is finally
Hang on. One more thing before we go to the next topic. I think Vancouver, and I'm being dead honest, I'm not bullshitting you, they're going to go all in at the deadline. I am dead serious with you. They are going to go all in with this group because you have to pay Pettersson next year, you have to pay Hronek next year, and you got 8 pending UFAs. This team is going to be very hard to keep together this summer, and they are going to capitalize on this group right now, the way they're playing right now. They need to go get a top 6 forward. They need to maybe get a middle 6 forward, and they need to get a depth defenseman.
Top 6 first, forward.
You know who I would call up right now? I would call up the Pittsburgh Penguins to see what it costs to get Jake Guentzel. Pending UFA, there's a relationship with both franchises, with Rutherford and Alvin. Pittsburgh kind of sputtering, not in a playoff spot. maybe that's a fit. I think you go out and get a middle six forward. And I think you go get a depth defenseman. I think they're three pieces away from being a serious contender to do some damage.
So you think a depth defenseman, huh?
I think you need one more depth D man.
Getzel is a no trade clause too, by the way. So
I know I'm not saying he would waive, but like that's inquire about for sure.
I agree. Two other quick
I do think they do need a top six forward. Because I don't think DiGiuseppe can play there the whole year.
No, I don't either. But then where does he move down? Because you don't want to mess with that third line.
Well, I know. Like it's such a good problem. There's such a good problem to have right now, right? So like that's the line. That line's been untouched ever since Blueger's come into the lineup from injury. They haven't even touched it. So I don't know. A part of me says don't fix what's not broken. The other part tells me you could use a top six forward.
Yeah. Two other quick Christmas miracles, and we'll move on or two around the league. Philadelphia, third in the Metro. To me, that's a miracle. And Nashville and Arizona currently holding wild card spots. crazy.
Do you think the Philadelphia gets top three? I don't.
Do I think Philadelphia? No, I don't either. But
do you think they make? Do you have the balls to tell me Philadelphia is going to make the playoffs?
It looks like it right now. Like, check back with me at midseason. I know that's only 10 games away, but I think it's
important. Kicking that question down the road, eh? All right.
Kicking that one down the road.
Are you a little... Oh, I asked you this last week. Are you concerned with Carolina?
Ugh. Yeah.
Like, they just don't look right now.
I'm going to touch on that here coming up. And there's a reason, and we're going to talk about it shortly here.
To answer your question, like, one of Nashville and Arizona is making the playoffs. I'm saying it right now. One of them is going to make the playoffs because
if I had to put money on one, I'd put my money on Arizona.
Because Calgary is pissing around. Seattle's pissing around. Minnesota, you just don't know what you're going to get on any given game. And then Edmonton is just Edmonton. They're either going to have a 4-1 comeback win against the Rangers on the road at the end of a road trip, or they're going to be up 3-2 to Tampa Bay and they're going to lose 7-3. You just don't know what you're getting. You know what I mean?
It's just like the worst team ever. You want to know why you don't know? Because they don't play defense and they don't have a goalie.
They don't. So. There's no accountability at all. It's like there's none. They just let those guys do whatever they want. Like, that's why I was so surprised when they brought in a coach like that. I thought they were going to get like a what's that guy's name? Jared Gallant or something.
Gerard Gallant?
Gerard Gallant, yeah. Like somebody like that, or you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think they would go down the first ever head coach in the NHL route again.
I got a feeling that we're going to be talking about Edmonton a lot over the next few weeks.
We probably will. And would it surprise me if Edmonton made the playoffs? Absolutely not. It would not surprise anybody. We both picked them to go to the Stanley Cup final. Fuck, I even picked them to win the Stanley Cup. So it's they are a very frustrating team to watch, though. They're just so wildly inconsistent.
Yeah. A big shout out to our sponsor, Apparel Bandits. Get your team's team apparel at apparelbandits.com. Yeah. Unbelievably cool stuff from all the major brands, CCM, Unreal, they got them all. Check out their webpage at apparelbandits.com. All right, Blake, time to go around the league. Capitals are moving their arena. The Capitals and Wizards are moving their home arena from D.C. to Alexandria, Virginia. Did this surprise you?
Okay. I am very dumb when it comes to U.S. geography. Very dumb. Just on the record here.
It's across the river.
I did not know that where they were, Washington, I did not know that was in Virginia. I thought Washington was its own state. I am very, very dumb. And I'm like, what?
Washington?
I know. I said, what? They're moving Washington to Virginia? And I'm like, oh my God, that's literally where they play. So I just had a mind brain fart. And yeah, it's weird. They're moving them across the bridge pretty much. So I don't think it's a really even big new deal.
Arena. It's kind of a cool. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two trades I want to talk about.
Oh, trades. First, talking about trades.
Thomas Tatar gets moved to Seattle from Colorado. And when I saw this, all I thought was cap dump, right? I think we all said that, right?
Yeah. But
cap dump to acquire who?
I don't know. That's kind of one of my questions.
Let's leave it and we'll address it during the question.
So how much was he? This guy's got 4 points in four games. They could have been using this guy.
What about the 38 games prior to that?
I know he had nine. He had 9 points.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Teams, Seattle. I want to see how much he's making here. He's only making 1.5. That's not really a cap dump, Brad.
Well, not really a cap dump, but they got to start clearing space somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere.
They are going to swing big for the fences, big time. They're probably on the phone right now with your beloved Calgary Flames, trying to get Elias Lindholm. That would be my first call. You need a second line center behind McKinnon because Ryan Johansson ain't it. He's a good third line center. He can't drive play behind McKinnon. And it's just tough matchups for McKinnon because it's such a huge drop off between McKinnon and Johansson that you're just going to be stuck with matchup after matchup. And it's just so hard. What McKinnon is doing right now is incredible. Like, it is insane. The guy is just a demon right now. He had like a 17 game point streak or something. He had almost 40 points. It was incredible. But they do need a center behind McKinnon for sure. If they want to be going anywhere in the playoffs.
I couldn't agree more. Another trade I wanted to talk about that really surprised me is that Vegas trades Logan Thompson to Winnipeg in exchange for Laurent Brossoit.
No, stop it. Stop it. You fell for another fake tweet again, man.
Did you fall for it?
No, you ain't get me at that shit. I look for check marks, and the first thing I do is check names. Nope.
I know. I saw it on two different sites, and I thought, I wonder how many.
If it doesn't come from Elliot Friedman, it ain't true.
Isn't it funny how?
No, it's not funny.
How trades have like?
Hey, if that's too soon for me, we got pranked about Ohtani going to the Jays, so I don't want to go on no fake tweets.
I know. That's
next topic. Next topic. Still not over. I'm still heartbroken. So next topic.
Oh man, Carolina Hurricanes. I want to talk to them. Talk about them. You asked me a little bit ago if I was worried about them.
Well, talk to the fans. You're their number one fan. This is your time.
No, I'm not. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup this year. You know, this team has everything, and now all of a sudden, once it takes them so long, right, to get this extremely deep defensive core and extremely deep forward group, and then the goaltending just crumbles.
Well, you can't predict him getting blood clots.
No, you can't. But I'm just saying how bad a timing that is. Like, it's just so
for sure, and that's been a reoccurring theme. Not blood clots, but injuries to Freddie Anderson. You go back to his days in Anaheim. You go back to his days in Toronto. Now you go back to now in Carolina, and they probably would have been in the Stanley Cup 2 years ago playing against the Colorado Avalanche if Freddie Anderson doesn't get hurt in the first round. Yeah, that's probably a legit possibility. And now.
Were you surprised? Was I surprised
that Franta got on waivers?
Yeah, were you surprised?
I was. Well, was I surprised when the plan was to call up a guy that's never even played an American League game? Yeah, I was a little surprised. They called up an ECHL guy, Petrev. He played in Penticton, and And then he played in NCAA. But yeah, there's just, you look at that team, you have that Russian guy, you had Rant and you had Anderson. You go, oh, that's a pretty deep thing in net. And now Anderson gets hurt, Rant is on waivers, and now you're like, oof, what's the plan here?
I know. It's scary.
You can only, I don't know. I feel bad for Roddy. He's a good coach.
Brings another point up that I wanted to touch on today is the goalie trade market. Like, this is a team. Edmonton's a team. Toronto's a team. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of teams looking for goalies. And
okay. Let's go down the list here. Okay. UC Saros, not getting traded. What's his name from Arizona? Not getting traded. That goes down. Marc-Andre Fleury. Somebody take him. Maybe. Jacob Markstrom, half retained. Intriguing. Edmonton, not getting traded. John Gibson. That's a guy that could get traded. Yeah. That's a guy that could get traded. Mackenzie Blackwood's been playing good on a poor San Jose team. Maybe does somebody take a flyer on him? I don't know. But
Kaapo Kakko on San Jose.
San Jose. Yeah, I'm just like the guys though, like the Saros.
Brzlikens might be on the move.
Let me just think of another example here. Well, what about Nedeljkovic now, who's been playing good in Pittsburgh? Maybe somebody thinks that he's got his game back. Like there is some options. There is some trade partners to be had.
The price is going to be high for goalies, I think, though.
Yeah, because everybody needs a damn goalie.
I know.
They're going to create a bidding war, right? Yep. I mean, yep. Wall goes down with an injury, and all of a sudden Samsonov can't stop a puck, and now you got Elliot Friedman saying, oh, Martin Jones saved the Leafs season. Like, that's crazy to think that Martin Jones has come in and played so well, right? We talked about at the start of the year, that could be a really, really good signing. And right now, it is. Vet minimum for Martin Jones. The guy won 30 damn games last year. He's good. Yeah. Right? I don't know. What is Ottawa going to do with a guy like Anton Forsberg? I don't know.
I don't know. One thing I want to talk about Ottawa is
guys.
Right after our show, they did exactly what we talked about, and they fired DJ Smith.
Daniel. It's always after our show, eh? It's always never can be breaking news ever.
No,
it's have right we after ever show. Had breaking news? Have we ever had breaking news? Maybe a trade. I don't know.
Well, we probably had the Canucks winning their first game of the year or something one time.
Oh my God, man. First place, just leave the jokes aside. Come on.
I don't know. Alex Martin takes over as sends interim coach. Daniel Alfredson behind the bench as an assistant coach. I'm interested to see that team. That's maybe a topic for next week's show. Is like the five stories were interested to see how they play out in the second half of the year. It's going to be interesting. Michigan goals. What the heck? The heck, two of them this week, list. Same night. Zegras gets one, list. Bedard gets one.
Zegras's Michigan goal was the sickest Michigan I have ever seen. How he did that in such a fast motion and made that look the easiest move on the planet. Like everybody in the NHL should be able to do that. That's how easy he made it look. Did you see the interview before the game? The reporter goes, hey, what do you think about trying to Michigan? I was like, yeah, I'll see what happens. Well, it's first period. Like, are you kidding me? Like, he is that special. He has 4 points in 15 games or whatever it is. But they need to get him going because he is fun to watch. He's one of the most exciting players in the league to watch when he is playing well. Like that move brings you off out of your seat if you're watching the game. Like, oh, are you shitting me? Like, I had to rewind the thing to watch that in slow-mo because I'm like, that's incredible. Like, he made that look too easy. Bedard's was okay. Binnington posted a little funny thing on his Instagram, how to stop the Michigan little kid slashing the other kid coming around the post. Thought that was pretty funny. But, yeah,
I think
two talented guys
over the years.
Well, you might start seeing guys getting two-handed coming around the post for sure. But
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. It hasn't happened yet. All it's going to take is the blade to go on the goaltender's eye, and oh, and then it'll be war, it'll be chaos.
Yeah, you're right. It was going all.
Can you repeat that? What did you just say? Can you repeat that?
Oh. I think I told you were right about the same times I've told my wife that.
You might want to rephrase your comments. You better hope your wife doesn't listen to the pod. Oh, you're in the doghouse. I'm a texter. 36 minutes. Listen to the pod.
I think actually it's, I probably told you you were right about as many times as my wife has told me I'm right.
But I'm as right as many times as you believe in Jonathan Huberto is going to have a bounce back here.
I don't know what to believe there anymore. I don't know what to believe.
What's going on? What is going on with that guy, man? Like, you talk to me, man. Like, this guy has a 2-on-1, basically an empty net. He's passing. It's like, what's going on? This guy forgot how to play hockey, left his talents in Florida. Like, I don't understand.
He works his ass. I don't know what to say. I don't know.
He just lost his touch. He's got no touch around the net. His playmaking is off. It's, I don't know. He's got 0 points in his last 16 games.
So, okay, there's really not much to talk about there. So, all over social media this week, I see this little graph of most hated teams. And it's a list of who every team and who their fan base hates the most. And I think it's absurd. But I'm going to name off a few teams, and I want you to tell me who you think their biggest rival is.
I already seen this.
No. I'm not going by what this graph says at all. I want you to tell me who you really truly think.
Oh, who I think their rival is? Okay.
Yes. Okay. We're not doing all the teams. I'm just gonna do a few.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Who do you think deep down the Boston Bruins' biggest rival is?
Montreal Canadiens.
I would agree. So who do you think the Buffalo Sabres is?
Who do I think? I think it's the Leafs because of how it's only a 20-minute drive or 30-minute drive. I think that's a big rivalry. And I think it would be unbelievable for the league if they somehow played each other in the playoffs. I think that'd be off the charts.
It was like in 2006, I believe, when they last did that. No, couldn't have been six.
No, they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs until 2004.
Yeah,
maybe it was early 2000s. Maybe,
Calgary Flames,
Oilers,
Dallas Stars. Turkey one.
They've had a lot of. I would say the Avalanche. They've had a lot of battles in the playoffs the last few years.
I'd probably agree with that. LA Kings.
Right now. I think it's the Ducks. I think it's the Ducks because it's literally a 20-minute, 30-minute drive. But there is a case for Vegas, I think.
I could see that. That's a strong point.
It's a strong Pittsburgh point. Penguins.
Pittsburgh
Penguins. Washington Capitals. Gotta be. No, all those years they played. All those. It's either Philly. It's Philly or Pittsburgh because when you play a team so many times in a row in the playoff, they played each other like 4 out of 6 years in the playoffs, right? And Pittsburgh knocked Washington out in the second round every single year. And remember when they finally got past them, finally slayed the dragon or defeated the demons, they went on to win the Stanley Cup. That builds so much hate. I just think that Philly and Washington haven't really had those moments like Pittsburgh and Washington have.
Last one, Vancouver Canucks.
Well, in the future, I hope it's Seattle. Right now, for a while it was Chicago because they played each other in the playoffs every damn year. But it would probably be Calgary.
That's what I was thinking.
Also, yeah, Vancouver hates Vancouver, so dummies. Dumb. All Montreal right, and Vancouver hate their own fans. Shocker.
Time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Question number one, Blake, you're firing it at me this week. I'm back at you next week.
What player has been the most disappointing, good or bad? Don't say Huberto because that's an easy answer.
Well, how can you be disappointingly good?
No, I'm saying like, you know what I mean. You know what I meant.
Disappointingly you know bad?
Mean? No. Most surprising player, like good or bad. Like I can't believe he's doing this battle. Like, holy shit. Like, this guy is unreal. You want me to tell you my answer?
Surprised Matthew Tkachuk is struggling as much as he is.
Yeah.
He put points up. I think he does a lot of other things. I'm surprised that I don't know. This year, there's not a ton of big. I'm surprised that Brock Besser's doing what he's doing. I hate to keep bringing up the Canucks on this episode, but I am. That's a legitimate one. Those were probably my good and the bad. Right?
You know who's been really disappointing is Timo Meier. Really disappointing. Yeah. First year of an 8-year deal.
I'm going to tell you something. I think money does weird things to people.
Yeah.
And I think long-term contracts and the pressure of that long-term with money does funny things to people. And I feel bad for them. But
right.
I think it also should be a lesson, too, that we live in a world where, and I know Jonathan Huberto had no choice. I mean, well, he had a choice to sign in Calgary, but the grass isn't always greener, right?
We talked about this already. Look at Gaudreau, right? It isn't greener, right? What player do you think is the top trade chip? And do you think a team jumps quickly to acquire a big time player before the trade deadline, like before everybody else?
I think the biggest guy right now is probably Elias Lindholm.
Yeah.
Just because I think center depth is critical for playoff success. Do I think it'll be quick? No, I don't. I think everything's going to get pushed right up to the deadline this year simply because of the cap is so tight for everybody.
Right. I think the two teams for the market for him are Colorado and Boston. I think those are the two teams.
I would agree, but there's probably a secret one we don't know.
Think so?
Yeah.
Who do you think that could be?
Pretty sure the Rangers wouldn't mind him as their third line.
No, center. They can't afford him. They can't afford him.
Well, retain salary, get more picks. I don't know. Shit's gonna happen, man.
What about a team like Detroit? You ever think about something like that?
Well, Detroit.
They got some good young pieces, though. Maybe that gets them into the playoffs.
I don't know.
Okay. Hypothetical question here, because this will never happen. Hypothetical question, okay? A best of seven series between the U.S. and Canada. What is the series, and who wins? Best on best. Best of seven series.
I think it would be surprisingly closer than most people think. I do think the U.S. holds an advantage in goaltending, and I think in seven-game series, goaltending is key. I think Canada would probably win it in six.
You want to hear my answer? The United States wins in five. Yeah. And I don't even think it would be close. I would have to look at the roster.
All you got to do
is look at the goaltending. U.S., you got Hellebuck, Thatcher, Demko, Ottinger. Who is Canada? Got a 38-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury, Jordan Binnington, Carter Hart, Tristan Jarry? Really? Yeah. Against those three?
Why is Canada struggling?
What is going on with Canada goalie? We could do a whole topic on that because growing up, man.
For a decade. The WHL and those other leagues even made rules to keep more Canadians in positions.
I know, and it's like, right? Like growing up, you had Brodeur, Patrick Waugh, Luongo, Fleury, Carey Price, Eddie Belfour. That's another guy. But I'm just saying, like in my generation, you had all these goalies coming. It's like, why did we stop developing? Like what happened?
I don't know. I think it's something. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I don't think anybody.
I just don't know. Like Canada, when you think of Canada, the first thing you think about is goaltending. That's the first thing. It's like, oh, they're set. Olympics 2010, 2006, 2010, 2014. What's Canada doing in net? Oh, they're set. You got Carey Price, you got Luongo, you got Brodeur. They're set.
Those were the only three, though. I mean, beyond those three, they didn't have much.
No, but they were set for a long time.
Sure. They had their
three. Now it's like, oh, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird. I think it'd be exciting to watch. I hope they have a World Cup of hockey eventually, and I hope they have Russia in the damn tournament. That would be brutal. But like Crosby's getting to the age where he needs to play a best on best with a guy like McDavid and McKinnon. All these guys need to play with each other. It'd be awesome.
We need Russia though.
You want to grow the game? Have a best on best.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
The game.
What are we doing? The World Cup of Hockey in 2016 was so successful. Why are we waiting 7 years to have it? Why not have it every 2-3 years? It was so exciting. Team North America was unbelievable to watch.
But you got to remember these athletes are. Yeah, money is a different thing now, man. And money's killing sports, man. It's killing.
If you told any player, hey, instead of playing 7 training camp games or 7 preseason games, we're going to have a World Cup of hockey. Not everybody's going to get to play, unfortunately, but I think players would sign off on that opposed to playing 7 damn preseason games.
I'm going to tell you something though. Until we get Russia back.
I know. Really I get it. I get it. Yeah, this good. You got a listener question?
I do. From the coolest name we've ever had on the listener question, Mercedes Miller. How do you like that question? How do you like that name?
Double M.
I want you to tell me your all-time favorite player without telling me their name.
Oof, without telling me their name. Oh, man. I got to tell a joke or a story?
Not a joke. No, I'll do it for mine.
Okay. Oh, yours is double overtime playoffs.
No, I'm just going to one of the smallest players to play in that era of hockey.
Yeah,
Theo Fleury. Hall of Fame. Yeah. I mean, I could go on with drug addict, sexually abused, WHL superstar. I could go on for a lot of this. Stanley Cup champion in his rookie year.
I have so many, man.
Well, your favorite player. We all know who your favorite player is. So do you want me to do it for you? Or?
Met him in 2009.
Well, that doesn't help anybody.
Hall of Fame goaltender. 2-time Olympic gold medalist. First ballot Hall of Famer. 4th all-time in wins. He's a top 5 goalie all time. Luongo, buddy.
Not a top 5. Holy cow.
That's a cool question. That's a cool question, though.
So did you see the new thing out that the NHL has called the Flow Finder?
Flow Finder. No.
You can put your face in there and put players' hockey, their hairs on your head.
Oh, you did Brock Besser's or what?
Well, I didn't do it. I'm not that pecky. I just thought it was hilarious. Like, geez, what else are we doing in the NHL office? We need to come up with a flow finder. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
That was a good episode. Canucks are in first place. Yeah. All vibes are good in Vancouver.
Now, wait. Let's talk 60. I do think Vancouver. Hockey's back Wednesday, so that means more hockey news next week. This is just a little light on the news. We're back to party next Monday night. New Year's Day, a Tuesday. Yes, New Year's Day is not Tuesday. New Year's Day is Monday, right?
No, New Year's, Monday.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, Sunday, yep. So are we going to do it? Are we going to do it Monday or are we going to do it Tuesday?
We're going to record on Monday night and release it on a Tuesday.
Okay.
All right, hockey fans, enjoy this week's hockey act. We are back next week. More great hockey talk, the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hockey talk every single week.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.
Knocking them down, feeling out that grounded power.